Welcome to Word Mission Church International Podcast. Now the Word with Paul Mensah Wood.
I'm getting to know Jesus more, His Word more, and my life is making a difference on others. For us, that's what it's about. So thank you again for coming out. Okay, let's get into our Bible lesson this morning, Mark chapter 6. We looked at being stewards, good stewards of the resources that God has given us in our family, in our finances, in our time, in our body, and we looked at the influence that what took place in the life of Joseph, and how we can also get those lessons from it and move on and to serve God and to do what He has called us to do. So we talked about the wise and faithful steward in Luke chapter 12. Verse 40 and downwards. And so today we'll look at the wisdom aspect and continue in that direction. Thank you, Lord. Mark chapter 6, verse 1. He says, "And he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples follow him." Let me switch translations here to match what's on the screen. It says, "And when the Sabbath day had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him that such mighty works are performed by his hands?" Notice the phrase, "What wisdom is this? What wisdom is this? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the son of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. And he could do no mighty work there except he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them." But notice the phrase, "he began to teach in the synagogue." He began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things, that such mighty works are performed by his hand? What wisdom is this? What wisdom is this?" You see, the wisdom of God at work in our life produces mighty works. It produces mightily in our life. You see, we need wisdom in every area of our life. Notice what he says in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7. We need wisdom in every area of our lives. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. He says, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all your getting, get understanding." Wisdom is the principal thing. We need wisdom to get married. We need wisdom to stay married. We need wisdom to raise our children. We need wisdom in our finances. We need wisdom at work to deal with people. We need wisdom in every area of our lives. So he says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. Go after it. It is life-changing. It is life-transforming. It would make a difference in your life. The same wisdom that was at work in the life of Jesus that was producing mighty work is what we have to go after in life. And the thing is, it's in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, I like how he puts it in the Amplified Translation. To be successful in life, we must deal wisely. So it says, deal wisely in the affairs of life. There's no way we can be successful without dealing wisely. Just Joshua was faced with, all the miracles that Moses had done, and then he gets the mantle to continue the journey. He's so afraid. He doesn't know what to do. But notice what God tells him in Joshua 1:8. He said, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe and do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous." And then notice the phrase. This is the Amplified. "You shall deal wisely and have good success." Deal wisely and have good success. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all your getting, get understanding. You see, there's no way. Life is full of decisions. Life is full of choices. Every day we have to make decisions. And it's full of questions. But divine wisdom is fully charged with the answers that we need. Thank you, Lord. But it always responds to our desire for it. It always responds to our craving for it. It always responds to our seeking for it. Notice what he says in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17. They that seek me will find me. Proverbs 8, 17. He says, talking about, the whole chapter is about wisdom. And Proverbs is a good one to be in to get wisdom. It's a book on wisdom. It has wisdom for every area of life. He says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Those who seek me diligently. There has to be a hunger to seek the wisdom of God for every situation that we are faced with in life. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord. So Solomon realized this as well. He was the wisest king up to his time. He realized that to rule over God's kingdom, to rule over the people of God, there is no way he could do it. So he had the desire for the wisdom of God. He realized that it was the guarantee for his success. It was the main thing that he needed to govern right. So expectation plays a key role when we talk about the wisdom of God. Let's go back to James chapter 3, verse 15 to 17. He tells us the different kinds of wisdom. James chapter 3, verse 15 to 17. We need it in every area of our lives. Thank you, Lord. Let's start from 13. We get a clearer picture. He says, who is wise and understanding among you, let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your heart, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not come from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruit, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Notice he says the wisdom that does not descend from above. Number one, he says earthly. He's talking about earthly wisdom. Common sense that we all have to operate in life with. We don't decide where to put our food, or we don't have to go to school to learn that. When we take our food, even a child, when they take the food, they know where to send it. So that's earthly wisdom. It's common to all of us. Then he talks about sensual wisdom or sense wisdom. Wisdom that is based on our five senses, or wisdom, sometimes intellectual wisdom, what we get from academic institution. So he's talking that you devise that as one. That's one category of wisdom. Then he talked about demonic wisdom. Wisdom that is not from God, that is based on the devil's wisdom. And we'll see later on that wisdom at play. The wisdom that we are interested in is the wisdom that is from above. In John 3:31, Jesus Christ said, he that is from above is above all. That wisdom puts you above the circumstances of life. That wisdom puts you where you are supposed to be in life. That is the wisdom that we are interested in. Thank you, Lord Jesus. When that wisdom was at work in the life of Solomon, it put him above his peers or his contemporaries. Notice what he says in 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 29 to 34. Thank you, Lord. 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 29 to 34. This is so important for all of us. It will help us. Thank you, Lord. He says, this is, and God gave Solomon wisdom and exceeding great understanding and largeness of heart like the sand on the seashore. That Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the men of the east and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all men, than Ethan the Israelite and Heman Chakol and Dada, the sons of Mahol, and his fame was in all the surrounding nations. Verse 32. He spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. Also, he spoke of trees from the cedar of Lebanon, even to the hyssop that springs out of the wall. He spoke also of animals, of birds, of creeping things, and of fish. Notice verse 34. And men of all nations, from all the kings of the earth, who are heard of his wisdom, came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. The wisdom from above set him above his peers. It put him where he was supposed to be, where people came to hear his wisdom. I pray in this season, by virtue of the wisdom at work in your life, may he set you above. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory be to the name of the Lord. You see, we don't get it by not seeking and by just wishing. What are some of the characteristics of this wisdom? It commands exploit. We see that in the life of Jesus. And then number two, we see that this wisdom is creative. In the beginning, God said, God saw it was good. And the Bible talks about the fact that he created everything by wisdom. Notice what he says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 19. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 19. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Proverbs 3, 19. He says, the Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding he established the heaven. How did God find the earth? By wisdom. He founded the earth. By understanding he established the heavens. Notice again in Psalm 104. Verse 24, thank you, Lord. Psalm 104, verse 24, thank you, Lord Jesus. He says, O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your possessions. The earth is full of your possessions. In wisdom, you have made them all. So in the beginning, God said he saw and it was good. Everything good that we are going to see in our life is going to have come out of that same creative wisdom. It's going to have to come out from that same place. In wisdom, he has founded the earth. He established by wisdom, he created everything. You see, we all have that creative nature in us. But wisdom of God is what it takes to see anything good in our lives. In our family, in our finances, in our businesses, whatever it is, it's going to have to come out from that same wisdom. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And then we see that as well. Through Joseph and Daniel, we'll look at them here shortly. They subdued kingdoms. They subdued kingdoms. Thank you, Lord. And then we also see that number five, it's a growing wisdom. It is a growing wisdom. None of us has explored the depth of it yet. Notice what he says in Romans chapter 11, verse 33. Romans 11, 33. Thank you, Lord. He says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgment and his ways past finding out. There is a depth to the wisdom of God that none of us has scratched to the full yet. But as we desire it, as we have a hunger and a thirst for it, it will begin to reflect in our lives. Oh, another point. The wisdom of God will convert our trials to testimonies. When we are faced with circumstances in life, the wisdom of God will turn our trials to testimonies. Luke chapter 21, verse 10. So let's start from a couple of verses before. He was talking about persecution, and when we are faced Luke 21:10. When we are faced with persecution, or we come up against situations, what will happen? But it can also apply in every area of our lives as well. Luke 21, verse 10. Thank you, Lord. He says, then he said to them, nations will rise against nations and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be great earthquakes in various places and famines and pestilences. And there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. But before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons. You will be brought before kings and rulers for my sake. But notice verse 13. But it will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. Therefore, settle it in your heart not to meditate beforehand on what you will answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. He's saying that when you are faced with circumstances, when things come up against you, in this case, he's talking about persecution from the natural standpoint, but it can also apply from a spiritual standpoint. When you get into trials and tests and you don't know what to do, he says, I will give you what? A mouth and wisdom, which your enemies will not be able to contradict or resist. And verse 13 says, it shall turn out for an occasion for a testimony. It will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. Because why? The wisdom of God will be at work in your life. You will know how to put the word of God in your mouth to speak his word to that test, to that trial, and it shall turn out to you for a testimony. Let us say that this morning. It shall turn out for me as an occasion for testimony. For testimony. It shall turn out for a testimony. No matter what I'm faced with, it shall turn out for a testimony. Say glory be to the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. No matter what the world may be facing, no matter how dark it gets in the world, it will turn out to you for a testimony. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory be to the name of the Lord. By the supply of the wisdom of God in your life. How do we, access? What is our guaranteed access to this wisdom? How do we access the wisdom of God that puts us above the life circumstances, above situation, the answers that we are looking for? We must realize that Ecclesiastes 1:9 says that there is nothing new under the sun. When the question comes up, there is nothing new under the sun. What has been before is what will be again. It may appear new to you, but from God's standpoint, it is not new. So notice what he says in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. We must follow the examples of other people in scripture. See how they made it. Look at their steps and they will get there. Jeremiah 6, 16. Thank you, Lord. He says, thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old path where the good way is. And walk in it, then you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. Stand in the ways and see. Ask for the old path where the good way is and walk in it. Look at the steps of others that walk in that path in the Bible and walk in it. You see, truth is truth. Truth is truth in every generation. We don't bypass truth because we say we are in a modernized age. We know better. We are in a civilized age. We can develop in the knowledge of the truth, but truth is truth. There's no new generation truth. That one generation has this truth and we had this truth. No, there's nothing like that. We all walk by the truth of God's word. So he's saying that, ask for the old path. Check on the old path, the way that worked, and walk in it, and you have rest for your souls. These people said, God doesn't know what he's talking about. We have a better way of doing this. Ask for the old path. Check on the steps of the old path. Notice what he says in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12. Thank you, Lord. He says that, Hebrews 6, 12, that you do not become sluggish or lazy, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Imitate them. Check on their steps. Look at what they did. Look at their example. If you walk in the same path, you will get the same results. I say that mathematics is easy. Other people say differently. but the best way to learn math is they'll tell you is look at the examples. Once you extend the examples, when you get another problem, follow the same principle, and you get to your answer. So he said, imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. That's why I chose math. I remember in high school, when I first went for my biology class, they took a lizard and cut it in two and said, analyze it and write a paper. And blood was flowing out of the lizard. I said, forget this. I'm not going down that path. No. Because if I write a biology paper, I give it to three or four professors, they can give me different grades. And if I write, I do a math question, the answer is the same. If I give it to three math teachers, if the answer is correct, it's the same answer. It won't change. So I said, I like that. I like that. When I finish my math question, I put a double line underneath it. It's correct. The answer cannot be changed. But the point there is, learn the examples. And then follow the example when you have a situation up. So let's look at a number of people here in the Bible that walk by the wisdom of God. Glean some things there, and then we'll see what happens. You see that the wisdom of God is wrapped in a mystery. Thank you, Lord. It's wrapped in a mystery, but it's hidden there for us. 1 Corinthians 2:6. Thank you, Lord. We will see that. He says, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, that is talking about earthly wisdom, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God. Notice the phrase, in a mystery. In a mystery. The hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. The wisdom of God is ordained for our glory. Which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, ear eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared, notice, for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yes, the deep things of God. We speak the hidden wisdom of God in a mystery. That wisdom is ordained for our glory. That wisdom is ordained for us to shine in this world. That wisdom is ordained for us to succeed. That wisdom is ordained for our glory. As the rulers of this age, that is demonic wisdom. They were operating by demonic wisdom. Jesus talked about the fact that this is your hour and the power of darkness. The rulers of this age were not necessarily the earthly rulers, the principalities and powers. They didn't know that by killing Jesus, they were plotting their own defeat. If they had known it, they wouldn't have done it. But you see, the wisdom of God has to be revealed. It says, but God has revealed it. Who does he reveal it to? He reveals it to those who love him. It is hidden for us, not from us. He doesn't want the enemy to get access to that plan. It is hidden for us, not from us. Oh, we have access to it. But notice, he reveals it. Prepared for those who love him. To access the wisdom of God, we must have a heart for God. We must have a heart for God. We must be excited about God. Everything that God about God excites us. Prepared for those who love him. It takes wisdom to access the deep secrets and the things that God has for us. It has to be revealed. No mental exertion can get you to it. It has to be revealed by the Spirit of God. And thank God you and I have the Spirit of God in us. Joseph was someone who loved the Lord. No, I mean, he went through a lot. When he went into Potiphar's house, he was experiencing the favor of God. He had sold him into slavery, but the favor of God took him up. Oh, but when he faced temptation, in Genesis 39, verse 9, he says, "How can I do this and sin against my God?" You see, the love of God is the reverential fear of God. When we love God, we naturally want to obey him. We want to do what he says. What happened in his life? Genesis chapter 41, verse 38. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Genesis 41, verse 38. Thank you, Lord. He says, "And Pharaoh said to his servant, 'Can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God?'" We all have the Spirit of God in us. "Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'Inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you. Inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one discerning and wise as you. You shall be over. You shall be over.'" The wisdom of God will always take you over. It is above all. But he had access to that wisdom because he loved the Lord. He refused to be offended even by his brothers. He was working in wisdom. Notice that he was in the prison. By the wisdom of God, he was lifted up from the prison to be the vice president of a whole nation. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That wisdom will set you above. He got there on the same place of love. Notice what Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 15. God reveals things to us. His wisdom can be accessed when we make a decision that we love him and we walk in relationship with him. Notice what he says in John 15, 15. "No longer do I call you servant, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you." Notice, I'm no longer calling you servant. Everything, I am calling you friends now. Now you have entered into another area of your relationship with me. So I'm revealing to you everything I have heard from my Father. It takes that. It takes a relationship. As Stephen is wise, according to the wisdom of the angel of God, to know everything that is in the earth. Until the love question is settled, our access to God's wisdom is not there. Wisdom according to the wisdom of the angel of God. Notice, to know everything that is in the earth. This was a man that has a heart for God. To know everything that is in the earth. He got there because he had a love for God. He had a heart for God. God calls him a man after his own heart. Thank you, Lord. And then his son as well walked in the same wisdom as well. Daniel, 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 3. Solomon loved the Lord. Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statute of his father David, except that he sacrificed and burned incense at the high places. He loved the Lord. So many times we think it's the asking for the wisdom that did it. No. He had the love for God first. He had a love for the kingdom of God. He had a love for what God was interested in. "Lord, there is no way I can rule this kingdom on my own." Solomon loved the Lord. When we love the Lord, we have access to his wisdom. Thank you, Lord Jesus, my Lord and my God. The love of God has to be the foundation. If it's not there, we are out of place. Thank you, Lord. It's a fundamental requirement for access into divine wisdom. And then, my good friends as well, Daniel and his three friends, they chose to honor the Lord even in a foreign land. To honor the Lord even in a foreign land. Where they were. Notice what he says in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. They purpose in their heart to stay with God and to do what God says. He says, and Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who has appointed your food and drink. For why should we see your faces looking worse than the young men who are your age? They refuse. You see, obeying God is wisdom. They are in a foreign land. These people have different practices, but they said we will stick with God. We will obey God. You see, obeying God is wisdom. I'll come back to my friends here. But notice what he says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Thank you, Lord. Obeying God is wisdom. Obeying God is wisdom. Obeying God is wisdom. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man. Not just hear it one ear and let it go the other, but hears and does them. I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. Then he says, whoever doesn't do it, I will liken him to a foolish man. He's building on sand. Daniel and his friends, by obeying God, were walking in wisdom. It is wisdom to obey God. When you are confronted with a decision, always choose God's path. It's wisdom. So in Daniel 1:19, notice what he says about them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He says, then the king interviewed them, and among them, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore, they served before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were in all his realm. In all matters of understanding, wisdom and understanding, they were found 10 times better. They were found 10 times better. Wisdom will always set you above. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray, in any area of your life, at work, in every area of your life, may you be found 10 times better by virtue of the wisdom at work in your life. If you believe that, say amen this morning. 10 times better. May you excel. From now on, you will begin to excel by the wisdom of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And then in chapter 2, verse 16 to 23, that the king had a dream. And he said, he told his astrologers, I'm not going to tell you the dream. You tell me the dream and also tell me the interpretation. How are you going to do this? Even if you slept in the same room with somebody, you don't know their dream. And the thing was, if they don't know the interpretation, they are all going to perish. He's going to kill all of them, including Daniel and his friends. Daniel came on the scene and said, relax. God has this. There is a God who reveals secrets. There is a God who reveals secrets. Wisdom comes from him. We have a relationship with him. Give us time. We'll go and talk to him. He will reveal it to us. The secret behind the challenges of your life, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus, may it be delivered to you this morning. And through this season, may you know the way which you should go. My Lord, you see, God knows about everything. God knows about everything. He knows about marriage. He knows about finances. He knows the secret things of life. You see, so many times when we have an issue, we try to solve it on our own. And God knows about everything. One of us was sharing this week that he went into a manufacturing company and he didn't know anything about manufacturing and plants and all those things. And he asked God, "God, show me." And God began to reveal it to him. But you see, you have to have that relationship established first. One time, I in a certain job that I was working, they fired the senior engineer and put me in charge of a network that I don't know the secret in the network. What am I going to do? And an issue came up, and the issue dragged on for a week. And I kept digging around. I looked everywhere. I this must be here somewhere. Then the pressure was piling on. This person has they have a deliverable. They need to get their network going. And finally, I asked God. I should have done that the first time. That's the first place I should have started. I said, "God, show me the secret. Show me the secret here of what I need to do. Reveal it to me. I cannot do this on my own." And just like within 10 minutes, just like that, I knew where to go, what to do, what command to input, and the whole issue was solved by access to the secret, by access to the wisdom. I said, "Call this person. Their issue is solved. Let them test it. It's done." Oh, he knows about everything. But to access it, we must have a relationship based on love and a relationship based on the fact that, "Lord, we will obey you and stick with your word." Thank you, Lord Jesus. You see, wisdom is our heritage. Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. Glory be to the name of the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. Thank you, Lord. Notice what he says. Wisdom is our heritage as children of God. My Lord and my God. We'll continue next week. "But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God." Notice he puts wisdom first. "And righteousness and sanctification and redemption." He's not going to be. He has already been made unto us wisdom. So the wisdom is available for us. We have to go seeking it out. And when we are wise, we love his word. Psalm 119, verse 97, continue, and to 99, he says, "Through your wisdom, you have also," he says, "how I love your law." When we love God, there's no loving him without loving his word. We love his word. And through that, he says, "You made me wiser than my enemies. You made me wiser than my teachers." Through the wisdom of God, we become wiser than the enemies of life that will endeavor to come against us. Number two, when we love him, we love his house. The psalmist says in Psalm 122, verse 1, "Oh, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of God." In Psalm 84, verse 10, he says, "I'd rather dwell in the house of God than dwell in the tent of wickedness." It is wisdom to come together to fellowship. When we love him, number three, we love to give. It just comes naturally. We love to give of our finances. In 2 Corinthians 7, verse 8 and verse 7, it talks about he says, "abound in this grace also." I'm just summarizing it for us now. And he goes on to say, "I'm just doing this to prove the sincerity of your love." Look, you see, God doesn't need our money. He walks on gold up there. If you understand, he has gold and gold up there. The streets in heaven are made of gold. In Psalm 50, verse 11 and 2, he said, "All the cattle on the thousand hills belong to me. If I were hungry, I won't come and ask you. It's all mine." But when we love him, we just naturally want to give to him. So to give. He spends it on our spiritual development. And number four, when we love him, we love the brethren as well. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. How can you say you love God and not love the brethren? God that you haven't seen, you love him. But the one that you see down here, you don't show love. So when we love God, we love the brethren as well. When we love God, we love to see people saved. People saved. God loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have the life of God. Notice, some of us are getting ready to fly here. Daniel chapter 12, verse 3. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He says, those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Those who turn many to righteousness will shine a few times. Oh, they will shine as stars forever. The wisdom that has been ordained for our glory, for us to shine, is that, oh Lord, show me who around me today I can witness to and see them come to the kingdom of God. He that wins souls is wise. Proverbs 11:30 says, he that wins a soul is wise. You have a heart for what God has a heart for. And then, to access the wisdom of God. Oh, the Apostle Paul, we see it in his life as well. He says, nothing can separate me from the love of Christ. Oh, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors. Romans 8:35-38. He talks about the fact that nothing will separate us from the love of Christ. Then he talks about the fact that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. Anything that is not working in your life, as you set your affection and your love upon God, may it begin to work in the name of Jesus. It may begin to work. For me to live is Christ. For me to die is gain. Lord, live your life through me. Wrote about 12 books of the New Testament, 66 books in the Bible. The one who had the love for God. Peter talks about the fact that he had a wisdom from God. 2 Peter 3:15. Wisdom from God. Because he loved the Lord. Because he obeyed the law. When we love him, obeying him becomes a delight. Oh, my Lord and my God. And Proverbs 23:26. That is the best seed that you can give to God. My son, give me your heart. My child, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways. I want to show you, but let your heart, give me your heart. Give me your affection. Give me your love. And I'll reveal to you the path which you are supposed to go. As you do that in this season, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus, in this month, may answers that you have been looking for flow freely in your life. May every marital crisis be resolved. May the answers that you need to stop financial hardship in your life, may it be released to you in the name of Jesus Christ. The wisdom that you need for life solutions to come to you in the mighty name of Jesus this morning and all throughout the season, may it be delivered to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Glory be to the name of the Lord. But it starts with a reward, with a heart for God. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Talk to God this morning. Thank you, Father. Make a fresh commitment to him. Eye has not seen. Oh, the wisdom that is ordained for our glory. Eye has not seen. Neither has the ear heard. Neither has it entered into the heart of man. The things that God has prepared for those who love him. This wisdom is from above. The wisdom that you need at your workplace. The wisdom that you need in your mind. The wisdom that you need in your finances. The wisdom that you need with regards to your children. Oh, make a commitment. Oh, to the Lord. The Lord, you are my reason for living. Lord, I give you my heart. Lord, I give you my heart. Oh, to love you with my everything. A good steward, a wise and faithful steward. Oh, to be committed to you and to what you are asking me to do. Thank you, Father. Let's all say that this morning. Lord, thank you for Jesus. Thank you. He has been made unto us wisdom. Reveal to us, oh Lord, areas where we can love you more and more. And as we do that, may we walk in wisdom. May you set us above by virtue of the wisdom of God in our life. The secret behind the challenges of our life, by your wisdom, may it be revealed to us. In Jesus' mighty name, thank you, Father. Let's give him praise and glory this morning. Father, we give you praise and glory. Thank you, Lord. Let's worship him before we go this morning. Thank you.
We trust this podcast was a blessing. Subscribe for more messages like these. If you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, we would love to hear from you. Email us at info@wordmissionchurchinternational.org. You may reach us at 719-235-5535. Find us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Google+. Be our guest this weekend at 5050 Edison Avenue, Colorado Springs, Colorado. Saturday at 6 p.m., Sunday 10 a.m. May the blessings of the Lord be with you.